This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to And Just Like What? A Sex and the City Rewind podcast.
Where Sex and the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith, and I have a Samantha voice today.
Meredith, can you tell us what you do for a living while implying that you give blowjobs?
I work in PR. I know what I'm having later. By that, I mean a man from Edinburgh.
Could I clarify better? I mean, I'm going to suck his dick.
If anyone was unclear about that innuendo.
I know what he wears underneath there, and I saw his dick.
He literally had a dick under his kilt.
Yeah. Was I being clear, girls?
I wouldn't want to leave anything up to the imagination.
I went for innuendo, but I was second guessing it. So, how are you, Meredith, other than being frightfully sick?
Yeah, I have a terrible cold.
Yes.
That I caught from my youngest son, who I do feel bad because he was sick for 3 days. And on the third day, he said he didn't want to go to school just because, and quote, "Mom, grade one is really hard. We have to write all the time."
His hands.
And I was like,
cursive.
What? I'm like, you think grade one is hard?
Yeah.
But now I have a horrible, horrible cold.
And so now you believe him.
Now I believe him, and now I have a combination of guilt and sinus pressure.
A spring cold?
Mm-mm. Spring colds? I know. Not good. Spring colds are, but I feel like that's when they happen.
It's often.
Ricky and I went for a super fun international wine festival.
I had no, okay, first of all, it was our own, Calgary's own bomb cyclone. Where that day, right?
Yes.
Like it was bomb cyclone. Like we were like Charlotte, blowing
yep.
into
and
our
Ricky,
hands,
like,
walking.
Trekked through the snow in a coat dress.
Charlotte wasn't her finest moment. It wasn't her finest moment. Buying condoms at corner stores, bodega condoms for her child. There was a bomb cyclone in Calgary, and we decided to brave this weather, and we went. I had no idea what to expect, Meredith. It was so fun. We went to this wine show.
We went to this wine show. But to be honest, the weather was never a deterrent for me. I was like, I'm going to go.
Well, I have a weird, a little bit of a thing about driving in inclement weather. It really stresses me out. Like I
for
will.
For sure, but we were going to Uber.
But my Uber driver was one of the most reckless drivers I've ever experienced in my life. So I felt like I really don't like giving a low rating. He was great, but I didn't because one thing that I appreciated was that it was the fastest blizzard drive I've ever experienced in my life. I got there in minutes. Remember, we got there right on time.
You just hydroplaned
early.
The whole way there.
Hydroplaned the whole way there. It's downhill. He just, you know, popped it into neutral and we went. And, but I wasn't really, I had gone to this wine show before and it used to be kind of stale. Like you'd buy tickets and have to trade them in like carnival style for every tasting. And it was just, oh, it was so dumb.
When was that? That one must have been like a decade ago.
It could have been like a decade ago. But this one.
Yeah.
Was so good. You just paid one fee. You were a sponsor, right? So we got in unlimited wine, unlimited food, unlimited drinks, unlimited everything. It was, and like tastings and chocolate. And Meredith, it was so fun.
It was so fun. And Ricky got so blatantly hit on in front of me. I didn't even know what to do.
Can we tell this story and maybe ask our sex astute listeners to weigh in.
So we went up to this station where Ricky knew the person.
Yes.
So he was
he's a wine proprietor in the city. He has a wine bar.
Yeah, he's very handsome. He was very fabulously dressed. We were intrigued.
Yes. He looks like a little olden days Frenchman, but young. Yeah.
Like kind of in, what's that really erotic English?
Like Lady Chatterley's lover.
Or
it looks like he had just bought one of the first bikes ever produced.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And he's just...
Like he eats a hamburger on a shovel. Anyways, so, but he's lovely. So knowledgeable.
Oh my goodness.
And he actually led us through a full tasting of wines.
Of like Bordeaux and Burgundy wines. And it was so lovely. They were the best wines of the show, for sure, hands down.
Oh, for sure. And because we got to have the full tasting experience. And as we were there, Ricky was talking about how much he loved these wines and how he and his husband really enjoyed being there mm-hmm. and like loved having the wines. And and then this man said, oh, well, if you ever want to get a case, I'll give you my personal number and you can just contact me.
Yeah.
Fine. Maybe that's a very generous
as
business
he touched
person.
My arm.
Yeah. And then as he like kind of brushed past Ricky, he said in his accent, Hermes. And Ricky said, oh, my cologne, yes. And he's
yes.
like, very, very, very nice.
And we were like, oh,
we were
happening?
Like,
because it doesn't happen. Women, ladies, everyone, men, you know how you slowly become more invisible. We witness this in and just like that, where remember Miranda becomes all but invisible in life. And
yes.
it happens the more you age. So if you get any of that type of attention, it's so you're like, what?
It's like it's discombobulating.
It's discombobulating because yeah. I felt like I'm not I'm married. I don't do the looks. I don't cruise. I'm not out for it. Right. So when yeah. that happens, and I'm sure he's a straight guy. I mean, I don't know what I think he was trying to sell a case of wine, but some Burgundy.
He's European. Who knows?
Who knows what those Europeans are up to? And
on their tandem so bicycles.
So anyway, it was very funny. But the looks, what we were witnessing in this room,
it's not
elite.
Peak fashion.
It's not the elites. It's not the elites that are
this
coming
is
there.
An expensive event. It's not it's a cheap event.
Yes, but I think they treated it like a speed dating event, just like Miranda's,
sure.
The opening scene of Miranda, 8 minutes, it's 8 seconds of interactions. Like it was a speed dating.
This is like a late 30s, early 40s meat market.
But what were we witnessing? Those knee-high, and I like a knee-high boot.
Everyone was wearing a knee-high boot.
Every person?
People were wearing like velvet wrap dresses. What?
Like inappropriately styled boots and dresses and
like holiday, like a Christmas,
like yeah, very holiday.
Green.
You're right, with like a lot of upswept hair. I was getting girl squad vibes. Like
I didn't even see a lot of jeans.
I'm like, guys, this is just like a Saturday night bomb cyclone. Like you had to get here somehow, and you wore like sandals, strappy sandals.
I mean, Ricky was in full denim, which was very chic. I didn't want to wash my hair, so I wore a beret.
It was very funny. So after this Frenchman, and Meredith was like, I wish I had worn a wrap velvet dress. She was like so mad about her style.
I know. I was like, damn it. Why didn't I not get the memo about the holiday-themed Christmas gown?
You looked lovely. You had like a beret on. Actually, very French of you. So that was That was fun. That was so fun. And it made me feel so... I loved it. I loved every second of that experience. But, okay. What else? Anything else happening in your life?
Other than being...
debilitatingly sick.
No. Tell me.
No, nothing really. Like, happy to have the spring. Oh, hey, Meredith, when you're
yep.
feel better every day, it's going to feel, the days will be getting longer as you feel better. And daylight savings time kicks in and you're going to just feel so good in a week. I mean, that's really true. Good.
It's so funny. I feel like COVID has any experience of being sick is always like, you know, there's always that new level of caution, fear, alarm. And I feel like this cold is like, didn't colds only used to last a day?
Not for me. I have a very weak constitution and colds can almost kill me. Like, yeah. Like a cold could turn into anything. I had a mild cough, turned into meningitis.
I know you did. Oh my God. And but you were so sick.
I was so sick. But remember, one of our interns was coughing on me day after day before. And then I went to New York City. Actually, I went to New York for my 40th. Got meningitis.
Oh my God.
You know, that's just Ricky being Ricky.
It's like Charlotte got crabs in the Hamptons. You got meningitis in New York.
Always something for everyone, right? So, okay, well, hey, Meredith, we are doing Sex in the City Season 3. Is this episode 13?
Let me double check.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
12. Episode 12.
12. Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We have gone from the trio of classics. The last three episodes have been some of the best.
Ugh. So and, good.
But this is kind of like a little dessert.
Yes, I feel. I agree.
This was a dessert course that was very good in itself. So why don't you give us a little synopsis?
Sure. Well, this week we're talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What does IMDb have to say about this one, Meredith?
Let me tell you, when Miranda tries multi-dating, why can't they call it speed dating? It must be like a trademark thing. It must be trademarked, don't you think?
Oh, do you think? It might be. Yeah, it might be. Multi. Okay. So she's multi-dating and they have 8 minutes, which seems very long.
That seems long and very potentially
too
awkward.
Long. I don't think that's true. It should be 2 minutes.
Yeah, when Miranda tries multi-dating, she quickly finds nobody wants a lawyer. This is awful. Mm. While her same physique appeals as a stewardess. Okay. Things get interesting for her when she decides to date a doctor. At Charlotte's rehearsal dinner, Samantha hooks up with Trey's cousin, Caleb, even if she can't understand his Edinburgh accent. Carrie is touched that Aiden created a love seat as a wedding gift for her friend Charlotte. Oh my God, Carrie, you're a monster. Finally, she gathers the courage to confess her infidelity with adulterer Big. Charlotte has a sleepless night before her wedding after sleeping with Trey for the first time.
It's not the right... The synopsis lacks a little. Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, that was where it ended. Okay, because there was a very pivotal scene after that. Okay, so...
You're right, there was a very pivotal scene. Why did they not mention that?
Should we start with... Maybe we should start with who has the least to work with, and that would be Samantha.
Yeah.
So Samantha sleeps with Caleb. Whole storyline.
Yeah. And he's a really strong Edinburgh accent. She doesn't understand what he's saying.
Kind of like a Scrooge McDuck accent. Like,
oh my gosh, this... Wow. I just looked at the Vulture list.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, most important thing. Where does this land on the vulture list? Where I would say it's top 20.
Why did I like this episode? I like this episode because I love the episodes when the friendships are very rooted and true, mm-hmm. and
agree.
And maybe they squabble, but there's so much heart and love and value
mm-hmm.
that's highlighted in their friendships.
Okay,
that they show up for each other.
They show up for each other, and that was the final scene. Was that it's about yeah. their friendship, not about some of the other things that were happening in this episode? And it's a very simple storyline.
Yeah, it's and SJP simple. Also got she also acted her butt off.
So where does Vulture put it?
Vulture puts it at number 3 best of all time.
Oh, 3 best of all time. Yes. Okay. You know what? Like, I think that's a little too high. However, but it's
you
very
do?
Good. Maybe a little too high. I could see top 10. I can see top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
And
so they say that, okay. I mean, it's just kind of another overview of what happens, but the devastation comes when Carrie finally reveals her affair mm-hmm. with Big to her boyfriend Aiden.
It's truly yeah. devastating.
Yeah.
And she does it at the worst time, but I guess timing is never right to say something like that, but it's really bad timing. Like,
it's really bad timing really and the metaphor bad. She tries to use. Anyways, we'll talk about her more later.
Okay, yes, yes.
It's high. It's high. So listeners,
I'm really glad. Okay.
I know. If you have not gone back to Sex and the City in a while, just watch watch episodes 9, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
So we have Samantha it's some sort of reception dinner. It's not a rehearsal dinner. I'm not even sure what kind of dinner they're.
I think it is the rehearsal dinner, and there's a ton of randos there.
You know, the rehearsal in my culture, the Ukrainian culture, is always the night before the wedding. So I don't know.
So I think this is
people don't get there a week earlier.
So this is what I think. I think it's the Friday.
And
they get married on the Sunday.
Oh, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe because like they still go out for drinks in the middle of all this and do a dress fitting. Like there's just a lot that happens in between this reception dinner and or rehearsal and the wedding itself.
You're right. It's like the whole thing happens in within like a week.
Yeah, just interesting timeline to me. So,
well, they go out the night before her wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, so Charlotte shows up drunk.
Do you think it could be a Thursday? This is minutia, but could it be a Thursday rehearsal?
Yes.
They go out Friday and it's a Saturday. Like Sunday weddings? I don't like it.
You don't
like
a Sunday
wedding? Did you have a Sunday wedding? I'm so sorry.
No.
Wait,
what night was your wedding?
I literally can't remember.
You don't know what night of the week it was?
No. No,
really?
I have no clue.
It was a
blur. It was prime COVID. We took our wedding party afterwards to Banff Fairmont for 2 nights.
Fun.
Which was lovely. We did pictures after. I think it was Friday night. So we did a Friday night wedding. So we have Samantha who, yes, she notices Caleb.
He's hot.
He's hot. But there's not much more to it.
That's it. She sleeps.
That's it. She just sleeps with Caleb. But they do this because they don't have much time to tell the stories that matter in this, right? So one of them always suffers from a lack of a storyline. And it's too bad that she doesn't have a little bit more to work with. Oh, no. She has a pivotal scene with Charlotte when they're trying on dresses. Okay, that's actually a very good moment for Samantha.
Yeah, so they have a really funny interaction where Charlotte's what I wanted to ask you. Do you think do you think she's being a bridezilla or do you think that Samantha's being a bit of a bitch? What do you think?
Well, what prompts it?
So they're trying on dresses and the dresses they're like champagne nude.
Yeah, it was very
This is a very, very difficult color to wear. The only person it maybe kind of looks okay on is Sam, honestly. It's not a good color for Carrie and it's not a good color for Miranda.
And Samantha's kind of like, could this be shorter? That's it, right?
She asks if it could be shorter, and Charlotte says, what, so they can show you your see you next Tuesday?
So don't swear at Vera Wang. Like,
oh, don't swear at Vera Wang.
You.
Oh, because
fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it comes out that she says that she Samantha's like, well, I didn't even want to be a bridesmaid. And Charlotte's like, well, frankly, I just asked you so you wouldn't feel left out.
I think that is so mean. Like, it's just so mean. Let's just be real, Charlotte. Nobody else is showing up at this wedding for you because you don't have a mom or dad there. Even your brother, who we met in season one, isn't there. You hired extras for your side of the wedding. Your wedding pictures don't even include your husband or anyone that you know.
Who's the rando who walks her?
Loves you.
Who's the rando who walks her down the aisle then?
There's no one. There's no one walking her down the aisle.
Yeah. There's like an older gentleman.
Really?
I think he's supposed to be her dad.
She hired him. There was no interaction with your family. It was a man she saw, like a butler somewhere, that she's like, you look like a dad.
You have some gravitas.
Charlotte, you need these three women to stand up for you at this wedding because it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
It's very sad.
I mean, okay, so this is what I would offer to anyone in their 20s who all their friends are getting married. Don't spend the money.
Oh, on a $14,000 dress?
Don't force your friends to wear a dumb color like lilac or green apple.
Let your friends choose their own black dress.
Or don't have a wedding party. Have like a sibling.
Yes.
Or, like, don't
feel like you have to match heights. Don't feel like you have to include, like politically include a sister-in-law who you don't even know in your own wedding party. Or like.
Yeah. It's not worth it,
It's all cringy.
It's cringy and dumb and performative. Like we had like a peacock blue theme and I still feel bad that I made my bridesmaids. The dresses were cheap, but
it's a little dated. I'm sure it was beautiful, but it's a little dated to have a color story for your wedding. Like, give me a break. Like, it's a little, I'm not saying that to you.
No, I agree. And I'm saying that I feel bad that they had these dresses. Cause I'm sure they never wore them again. I had to get one for another wedding. And I'm like, I'm never going to wear this dress.
Like, come as beautiful as you can feel and like come feeling great in your skin to my wedding.
Yeah, that's our unsolicited advice.
To those 20 something ladies. Oh, yeah. I know. And for men, you don't need to go get a nice suit. You can
look at Aiden.
You can go and find one that someone threw away.
Yep.
In one of those bins at the corner by a 7-Eleven.
Do you know who has nice suits? Is RW & Co. Affordable?
Great. Go. You don't have to go there. You can go.
You want to say Club Monaco. I know.
Well, no. Where was my suit from? I didn't wear a suit. No. No suit.
Stafford suit. We wore blazers. Staff suit costs more than my wedding dress.
Well, I think my real advice for a man is get a great suit that you will wear again to beautiful events, right? Yeah. So, and spend the money, make it look good on yourself. And men, stay, you have to fit into that suit year after year. That is your that is your guide.
Okay, so Miranda's big thing, which is, it's funny, but it's also psychotic.
It's psychotic, but I was thinking about this and like I have invented so many personas when I've been out and about that just don't matter.
But I mean, she
used to pretend that we were German brothers and that he would speak German to me and I would translate. And this is all a ruse.
Yeah, I guess in theater school we used to do that. So Miranda is multi-dating and all the guys are like, don't care that she's a partner in a law firm. What? So she pretends she's a stewardess.
Which
and
is
then continues to lie about it for a long time.
Yeah, really works it. And then keeps that kind of like a memento of that lie on at all times, like a little poochie scarf on her neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just so funny. And her no makeup makeup look, like in the morning when she cut her finger, when she was so weirdly cutting that bagel.
It's like you know, some people cut an avocado where they like put the pointy end of the knife into the. That's how she was cutting a bagel, like right towards her palm.
Yeah, it was wild. Not even with the serrated knife.
It's funny though. So she lies and doubles down and is putting on thick to her, this guy named Harris.
Yeah, and she's like, it's just so funny because she's such a good actress and she can really act like she's making up these details in the moment so well, right? Like, so those, these lies come out like a trail of, like a thought process that's so funny.
Like a sociopath.
Like, true, too easy.
But the funny thing is, so the guy she's with claims that he's an ER doctor. He tells her he's an ER doctor. And when she cuts her hand the morning of the wedding, he is so grossed up by the blood. And then it comes out that he's actually an assistant manager at Foot Locker. It's really funny.
So good. Yeah. I love this storyline. It's always stuck out to me. Like this whole, the stewardess storyline was great. So I can see top three is so gelling with me because there are, the only major flaw of this episode was Aiden's suit.
Oh my God, Aiden Sue. Okay, so let's talk about Charlotte before
we go.
So
Charlotte, but Charlotte has a lot in this episode.
It's very troubling with Charlotte.
It's troubling.
So it's revealed that when Charlotte goes out the night before her wedding and gets shit-faced.
Which I don't believe, first of all, I don't believe Charlotte would get shit-faced the night before her wedding.
I know.
She cares too much, but yes, okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, she does. And then admits to her friends that she has not slept with Trey yet. Okay, let's bear in mind the timeline. They've probably only been together. Like, it's probably 4 months. Yeah. Month four.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
But
fast.
Apparently they love each other. I don't know.
And she's kind of like, guys, I've been saving myself.
Yeah. I'm like a virgin for this marriage. He's so sexy.
It's very bizarre. It's almost like a... stunted. It's like developed, like it's like stunted. Do you know what I think?
It's a very odd life choice.
It's an odd life choice for her and her, like her her social stratus, if you ask me.
That you wouldn't prioritize it. So she decides to go to Trey that night drunk and she's like, it's like officially our wedding day. So it must be like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Which, again, that seems bonkers to me. You're right. Charlotte would not get drunk. She'd be worried about being puffy. She'd be worried about not looking good in her photos if she was hungover for her wedding. But apparently, we have to agree with this bizarre...
We have to agree with that. We have to suspend our disbelief in this moment.
We have to suspend our disbelief. So that happens, and she shows up at Trey's, and then she says, I'm ready. Let's make love. And he says, all righty.
She says it more like this. I'm ready. Let's make love. Like her drunk acting is beyond bad. Let's make love. She just can't pull it off.
And then she finds out that Trey.
He
has erectile.
He's impotent.
He has erectile dysfunction.
Impotence. He can get it up, but he can't.
Are those the same things?
The sails.
He can't bring it into the harbor. Yeah.
And oh my God, could you imagine? I thought she gave him a hand job last episode.
She has given him a hand job. He says that this happens during intercourse.
Intercourse. Yeah. And he said sex isn't everything. Like sex isn't actually very important, Charlotte.
He says it's not that important to him.
To hear that at that point.
The night of her,
And then what happened to her drunk acting after that? She was stone cold sober.
She was stone cold sober. Yeah. And do you know what's funny? I didn't flag the part about him saying that sex wasn't that important to him the first time I watched it. Like in my many times since the last time I watched it.
Yes.
Like I thought the erectile dysfunction was the main issue, but I think it's the fact that he's actually just not that sexual, right?
He's actually not very sexual. And I wonder, like, does that have to be a deal breaker if you love someone and you can find other ways to be intimate? I guess to her, she's just like, you know, she wants it all. She really wants it all.
I don't think it needs to. That's a good question. I don't think it needs to be a deal breaker. Like we have friends who are in relationships, like very long-term relationships, and their partners are asexual. Yeah. That means they have an agreement that they sleep with other people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
they're open about it though.
Charlotte does go right there. They kind of go there later. Like Trey kind of is complicit in her sleeping with the tennis pro and stuff.
Yeah,
like he kind of understands it's kind of a thing for this like waspy life. You know,
it's just what you do.
All the McDougal ladies sleep with their tennis pro.
I'm excited to watch that episode. I love,
you know, season three gets really, the second half of season three is wonderful, but season four is really where it's at, in my opinion. I think it's so good.
But, okay, well, and also because that tracks, because the top two episodes, according to Vulture, one and two are from season four.
And it's kind of like the first episode and the last episode, isn't it? Basically.
It's like middle and last.
New York and, middle and last. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then Charlotte, well, you know, Charlotte is getting married.
She's getting married.
It's going. All the tartan ribbon's out.
And Carrie's wearing like a white bridesmaid's dress. It's not cream or champagne like the other two. It's actually white. It's like an eggshell.
Interesting. It's a bold move.
It's a bold move. And it does not look great. But the main thing here, I think, that happens is that Charlotte confesses to Carrie just before she walks down the aisle because
and it's
dramatic
like,
effect.
Carrie, come over here. Yeah. And they have a long conversation.
Yeah. The thing I like most about this, though, is that Charlotte tells Carrie what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's
it's okay. Let's go.
It's supportive. But then she does say, you don't have to get married. If you don't want to do this, she does. Because I was watching for that. I was like, is Carrie the reason why?
I felt she was very dismissive of like, you know, you kind of got to do this. No, yeah. She did say it. Okay.
She actually does give her an out. She says, you know what, honey? You know how she says that? You know what, honey? You don't have to do this. We can just hop into a cab. We can just run out right now and jump into a cab.
Yep.
So she gives her that option. She does, which I thought was good. I appreciated that.
Oh, that's good. Okay, yeah. I think that's great. But then what convinces Charlotte to actually walk down the aisle?
She says, I think she says, I love him.
Oh, just I want to get married.
Yeah.
I want this.
And that's Carrie's voiceover. She says, Charlotte is 35, single, and wearing a $14,000 wedding dress. She is getting married that day. $14,000 wedding dress.
You know, I was doing some math. You know that stupid prenup of theirs? Like, it's a pretty bad prenup.
Yeah.
And Charlotte quits her job to marry Trey.
Yeah.
If Charlotte had just kept working and actually being self-reliant, she would have made that much money in her career.
Oh, easily. It's
not that great of a deal.
But do you remember when Survivor, like 20 years ago, when they would win $1 million and we're like, $1 million? Like you're set for life.
Yeah. And now, like Matt and I, like they say, you have to save like $2 million to retire. Like it's not much money now. Yeah.
No, I don't.
Like you could buy a pretty average size infill
for $1 million?
Close to that.
Hard to even find in Calgary. Hard to find like, you're not going to find the house of your dreams for $1 million.
Like I think our house is assessed at $700,000.
Yeah, like it's you're right. Back then, but honestly, still $14,000 for a wedding dress really does shock me. That's still shocking. That inflation hasn't worked itself out. So there you go. Charlotte gets, but Carrie, we're really far into this. We love this episode.
I know we're in the home stretch here. Talk about Cuckoo Carrie?
Let's do it. Oh, Carrie.
Carrie is a monster.
Carrie is a mess. I think Carrie's a mess. I think.
And this is my whole thought the entire time was, does Carrie even like Aiden or does she just want someone who says they love her?
Oh.
I don't feel like she likes him.
I don't think she likes him. Honestly, their interaction, I have to say, when I go back, they're still talking in sound bites. They're like, hey, lovely mama. Oh, what you making here? What you making here?
What you cooking up in that butter box?
And like, is two woods. There's two. Yeah. If someone started talking about those two woods like that with me, I'd break up in the I would have told him just to hurt him. These two woods. No one should. It was so cringe to hear his thought process on this ugly piece of furniture. These two woods meet in the middle.
So Aiden makes this is why I was like, Carrie, you're a monster. Aiden is making a piece of furniture for Charlotte and Trey, who are Carrie's friends. She has not yet told him that she cheated on him for weeks and weeks and weeks with Big. She's not told him, and he is spending his free time to make a piece of furniture.
Overtime to make this furniture. Yeah. Unfortunately. for Trey and Charlotte.
but the metaphor he uses is that it's two different woods who come together to create something stronger.
If someone told me that and thought about that for the piece, I would break up with them.
But I mean, so Carrie tries to jump on this metaphor because she notices there's a flaw in one of the pieces of the wood. She's like, what about the flaw? And he's like, no, the flaw is what makes it better. And then she's like, really? Flaws make it better? And I'm like, Carrie, cheating on someone?
No, this is not.
That's not a flaw. That's a decision. A flaw is like.
It's like a perfect Persian rug when they have to put one flaw in so it pleases God. It's not like now you can use that as
it's
a
like
great
it's like having
segue.
a mole removed. It's not like consciously choosing to sleep with your ex-boyfriend and book a different hotel room to screw him in, like, and then not tell your current boyfriend
and dressing up like Inspector Gadget running around Manhattan trying to avoid Charlotte.
Exactly.
That's intentional. Those are intentions.
That's not a flaw.
You don't have a flaw of infidelity. Oh, you know what, Aiden? I'm like, I guess I'm pretty flawed. Like, I'm pretty perfect, but I'm also flawed. I'm a shopaholic.
Yeah.
I love my Cosmos. And I cheat on you every single day.
Exactly. Smoking maybe could be considered, it's a vice. Oh, my God.
Yes. So... Oh, God, where to start?
Carrie's a monster. Her hair looks great in this episode, though.
She looks wonderful in this
episode. With the headband and, like, the really kind of back-combed curls, she looks beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I really take offense to Carrie's, like, how flippant and how she's making jokes about her infidelity with the girls. Yeah. She's kind of like, but me, I guess I'm just sleeping around. Like, she's kind of like...
I'm a monster.
What? What? Ugh. I'm kooky. And they're kind of laughing about it. They're kind of
complicit, for sure.
They're complicit. They're like, yeah, we know that about you. Get over here, you infidel. Infidel? That's probably the wrong way to use it.
I think that's the wrong word.
I used that wrong.
So, I mean, Charlotte is the one who's kind of the harshest with her, where she's like, Carrie, Big is married. Like, why are you not even considering... This is in the previous episode, right?
When she doesn't give a fuck about Carrie's storyline at this point.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte's like,
Charlotte's in for herself. Charlotte's checked out. Don't talk to me. Charlotte hasn't heard anyone say anything. You know, the lips are moving. She hasn't heard anything for 4 months.
I mean, the worst, like, Carrie is awful the whole time. It just feels so shitty because you're right. Her friends are complicit, making jokes about it. He dresses up. Was making furniture for her friends. He shows
dresses
up at her
up?
Place.
Okay, what are we'll you talking a, about?
We'll post a picture of this because we. I guess I realized that Aiden's fashion choices extend a long way into history. He's ridiculous.
He's the worst dressed man in the world.
It's like he found this suit at a Goodwill when he was 14 years old and checked to see if it still fit.
It's made with Fortrell.
It smells like onions and...
He is wearing a chartreuse... You know what? This is like Regis Philbin line. I feel like he bought this from either the Donald Trump line or the Regis Philbin line at Sears.
And not only is it ugly, it is ill-fitting.
It is. And then I'm watching the scene in New York and there's like 100 beautifully dressed Wall Street-ish looking men in New York. It's not like there weren't nice suits at that time. They... intentionally styled him to look like this.
To look ridiculous. And it makes no sense because the man owns furniture company. And
yeah, like he's a CEO of furniture company.
It's his business.
He makes a lot of money.
He makes his one chair wasn't one chair like $2,500?
Way too much. And not only, you know, the suit isn't the only faux pas. So is that bench that he's making. He's making a love seat bench for Charlotte and Trey. And let me say, girls in their 20s, men in their 20s, or anyone going to a wedding, do not stray from the registry.
No,
that's
do you know what?
People want.
Cash. Cold hard cash.
People want cash.
Cash is king.
They're desperately trying to figure out how to politely tell you they only want cash. So if there's like on the invitation, like... You know,
no boxed gifts. There'll be a direct deposit link.
Tap pay.
Yeah.
No one wants.
We accept tap.
No one wants a piece of furniture for their Manhattan multi-million-dollar penthouse. I'm serious. I'm just, it incenses me.
Okay. You're incensed. That's the thing that incenses you the most.
That and so, the suit. I mean.
Okay. So the most important thing that happens is that Carrie finally tells him. When she,
really bad.
It's an awful time when she tells him he's coming to pick her up for the wedding and she decides to tell him then?
I don't understand it. And what was her in at that moment that he was like, you're perfect and like,
oh, because he's trying to hug her. He's trying to hug her.
And she like, won't, she's antsy and she won't.
He's like, you're not letting me hold you. You haven't let me hold you. And then she just tells him.
It's like hugging someone who's dead inside, though.
Yeah, she is dead inside. And I'm sorry, she deserves that deadness.
Yeah.
I don't have much empathy for her. And in that moment, she downplays it. She's like, you know that guy you met at the furniture show, my ex? I slept with him. She frames it that way. And he says, when we were dating, she said, yeah. And he said, only once? And she said, no, a few times.
Yep. Really downplays it. Bad. Really bad.
And fair enough. Aiden says he needs a break. And Carrie has the audacity to ask, will you meet me at the wedding later?
Yeah. She's like, business as usual.
Oh my God.
He needs, you know what? I think he wanted to go walk around Manhattan just to show off that suit.
He wanted to get like heckled and like pieces of raw fruit thrown at him. You know?
Oh.
See how people avoided mugging him? Because he looks so trashy, low rent.
Usually Manhattan streets are crowded, but somehow...
he cleared the streets.
He parted the crowd.
Yeah.
And can I just also mention that the soundtrack of this episode was very strange. It had like a Hallmark piano. Like there's like... freeform piano in the background. There was just
didn't
beats.
Even notice. I did notice when Charlotte was supposed to walk down the aisle. You know the bagpipe song? It sounded like the opening to Outlander. Sing me a song of a lass who is gone.
No, it's kind of like dun 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 dun.
It sounded like the Outlander song.
They all sound alike. No one likes bagpipes.
So he comes back,
and he's like. Clear that he needs like this is bad and he needs like a lot of time to process maybe forever.
He says he doesn't know if it's something he can get over, and he says I really loved you. Sad.
She had it all.
She said I didn't
slip away.
I didn't want to. He said I wish I'd never known, and she said I felt like I needed to be honest with you. And
well, that is the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do.
That was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to do. So just right there, Carrie did a hard thing. And she doesn't like to do hard things.
She doesn't like to do hard things. She's selfish.
She's self-centered. She's a narcissist.
Yeah. She was more worried about not him not loving her than her not hurting him. That's the truth.
Oh, my God. No truer words have ever been said.
Wisdom. Boom.
I don't know where we can even go from here. That was so perfect. And then
that was so perfect.
The very good ending to a very good episode was that really the people who are there for her and who love her the most unconditionally and throughout her flaws are her friends. And they line up. I don't know how the photographer could have created, who could have adjusted the white balance. That shot. It's very difficult, tricky shot to take.
Not only are these women very white, so were their dresses.
Very overexposed.
It's a homogenous wedding party. We came, we saw, we loved it.
And you know what? Meredith, go get some Neocitran. Go hug Gally.
Spread some more germs.
Go like cough on people. Make them join your misery.
I will.
And
have a great week.
Thank you. Follow us, like us, rate, review. We have been feeling it. And
we have stuff to share. We have stuff to share from readers next episode. We will share some of the feedback we got about cheating.
Oh, we got
cheating.
Some We got some feedback. We got real feedback.
We got some tea that we loved. So please keep telling your stories to us. Tell us if you've ever been in the situation when you had to confess something to a partner.
Yes. When did you do a hard thing? And what was that like in a relationship?
Tell us about your wedding experiences. Were you a bridezilla? Were you chill? Do you think this wedding is a chaotic mess?
Are you married to an infidel?
You mean someone who has erectile dysfunction?
Oh, yeah. tell us at andjustlikewhat.com. Please. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.